Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
All of their friendos, welcome in. Welcome in. It is Both Types of Sports. Monday, January 27th. I am your host, Chad Dukes. We are streaming live on YouTube. If you are listening to the podcast, feel free to head over to youtube.com/Chad Dukes Show. And you can watch live. Just click on the fucking thing when we put it up. Hit like, hit the bell, hit a little ding-donger. You know the drill. People have been telling you to do this shit for 20 years. All the way from the Garden State. Radio's Gigantor is with me as well. Hello, Tor. How are you, buddy?
Very dissatisfied. I'm doing okay. It's about as good as I could be doing following the proceedings of Sunday.
Yeah. It's the worst possible outcome for football fans, and somehow I think you could make the argument it's the best possible outcome for the NFL short-sightedly. I would argue that the long game, it isn't good because you're losing a very valuable commodity at a rapid clip, and that is trust, before you get to any of the other shit about all of the matchups that we have not seen over the years in the Super Bowl. I've got some crazy stats here for that, but I wanted to start with this, Tor.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on Both Types of Sports.
So, you know, I'm not a fan of Robert Griffin III. Is an analyst. I think on Twitter he's worse. I think he's an engagement farmer. This would be my the latest piece of evidence that I would put forth. And if you're listening to this, this is a tweet from Robert Griffin III. It is from 10:21 p.m. on the night of the playoff game. So right after post-game coverage starts there on the network. The NFL struck TV gold with the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are going for a three-peat in NFL history. The Eagles have the best roster in all of football with the best, most exciting running back in the galaxy. The number one quarterback versus the most underrated quarterback. I would disagree with that. And it's a Super Bowl 57 rematch. There's a couple of things here that might be good Tor. Most of them are not. I think this motherfucker isn't just sucking up to the league. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, that most football fans do not believe this. So he's going to get engagement farmed. He's going to get the likes and I'm sure he's got monetization turned on this fucking website. Do you think anybody that isn't a shill for the league would look at a rematch between the Eagles and Chiefs as a good thing for your average football fan?
No, I think seeing a rematch of these teams, it doesn't really promote the parity. It doesn't promote how well some of these teams have performed throughout the regular season. I think that following the method of baseball, for instance, where it's Yankees, Dodgers unloading the clip every single year and going over their salary cap and inducing the luxury tax just to get these mega players while other cheap owners won't do it, hurts the product. And I think similarly for football, if you keep on seeing the same teams over and over again, it hurts the product. When you think that there's only four teams that could actually go out and win it, I think that when the playoffs started this year, they're about 4 to 6. But just seeing Philly and Kansas City again, I don't think the average fan is overly thrilled.
This is from a tweet from Jake Marsh. 2020 Chiefs 49ers, 2021 Chiefs Bucks. By the way, the Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski destruction of the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, that is looking more and more impressive as the days go by. You forget how lopsided that game was. Bengals Rams Tour 2022, that feels like it was a decade ago how refreshing does that matchup look as it is then followed by Chiefs Eagles, Chiefs 49ers again, and then Chiefs Eagles again?
That's rough. I mean the Brady win against the Chiefs continues to look, as you said, continues to look stronger as they keep on going. And I continue thinking in my head that the Bengals played the Rams in 2019 when they actually played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. This is slop. This is absolute slop from the league. The NFC has been sorry as hell. The 49ers have been an inconsistent representative at the top. Philly just continues to say, we're just going to spend the most in the NFC, and we're going to have a GM that is more aggressive than your GM. And if it comes down to the Chiefs again, so be it. We know that we can make it against all these other loser-ass teams in the NFC.
That is, what is that, 4 Super Bowl matchups in the last 6 years. I think it's actually worse than that. The last 9 Super Bowls have featured a grand total of 8 different teams. That's almost a decade. That should not be possible with parity. It shouldn't be possible with free agency. And look, I think there's Chiefs and Eagles fans that are getting in their feelings about this a little bit. If you think about, before we get to any of the referee shit tour, it's actually a compliment to the consistency of franchises like this. More the Chiefs than the Eagles, but they're always in the conversation. The fatigue, of course, is Chiefs fatigue, because the Patriots had a dynasty. The 49ers had a dynasty. I wasn't around for the Steelers doing it, but like, we've been through dynasties before. They haven't chapped everyone's ass the way that this team has. And I don't know if it's personality driven, if it's style of play driven, if it's simply fatigue. I know that this conversation was completely changed when Travis Kelce became a crossover celebrity because of who he's putting his penis in. I pulled a clip here. I just don't know, like, how, if you're a Chiefs fan, again, it's okay for you to be happy that your team is in the Super Bowl again. You should be. Anybody would be. But whatever this is, and this is Travis Kelce's quote unquote fit, put a bullet in my head as he's walking up to the game. He's dressed like a fucking buffoon. And then on top of that, this was the scene after they won the game, and I'm trying to remember what Kelce's line was. Oh, that's right. He was 4th on the Chiefs in yards, and he had 2 catches, and yet this is what we were treated to after the Chiefs defeated the Buffalo Bills narrowly.
Play in front of Arrowhead Stadium like this every single AFC championship. You kidding me? Kansas City!
How long did they go before they showed Taylor during this speech? I mean, this is, I'm not saying this is the only reason why we've had it, but it's one of the main reasons why it's been ratcheted up.
Hey, before you guys get out of here, just do a little dance, make a little love. Yeah,
what?
Thank you, Travis, Patrick, and Kansas City. Congratulations to your Chiefs. The Chiefs' kingdom reigns again in the AFC. James Brown, back to you.
Nance is cringe. Kelce's cringe. That whole performance was cringe. I mean, what an embarrassing display to have to pretend like isn't embarrassing if you're a Chiefs fan.
It wasn't, but 3 years ago, I recall having conversations with Bro Dogs about Travis Kelce. And when he was really torching it, his cool factor went up. You would say, oh man, you know, he's kind of corny, but he's so good. You know, it almost makes him cool because he's doing it on his own terms and he's scoring 2 touchdowns. He's getting 150 yards. Now, when he's just out there getting cardio in and blocking, it's not cool. It's strictly just cringe attention stuff. He didn't score the game winning touchdown. I'm not particularly sure why. Obviously I am, but why you so,
you know,
quick
why
to
they
get on,
no,
the
go,
mic.
Go ahead. No, you should say it. You should speak it out loud. Why did they talk to him? There were 10 other people that contributed more to that win than Travis Kelce. Why did he have a microphone in his face? If that's the reason, then do we think it is that much of a stretch that the NFL is motivated to have the Chiefs continue on in the way that they do? I mean, it's all part of the same argument, is it not?
if they had the integrity, they would have thrown Xavier Worthy up for the next questions to be held by Jim Nantz. If you want to go Mahomes, go Mahomes. You want to go Reed, go Reed. But if we're talking about contributors to the win, give it to Chris Jones or give it to Xavier Worthy. But Travis Kelce, just because he's done that we like the party speech at the end of AFC playoff games in Arrowhead, they either wanted that again or they wanted to show that lady on the screen again. And it's more likely that it was due to the latter.
Ratings have been down this season in the postseason for the NFL. And I defended it because I think you reach a saturation point tour where there's only so many more eyes you can get on the product. And I think that's why they're so desperate to go overseas and to kind of do what the NBA did and make this a global sport as opposed to a uniquely American one. I understand the motivation. I think it's a mistake. I think the sport for the most part is uniquely American and there is some global intrigue because of that. But I think you're not going to do a lot of better than a 40 share. And if it drops back down to a 37 share, if it drops to a 38 share, Mike Florio is celebrating. But I think most of us kind of realize what it is like you can open a McDonald's across the street from another McDonald's, but you can't put a third one on the corner, right? There's a level at which enough is enough. I'm very interested to see the ratings for this Super Bowl, because just like after the Texans game, when you and I came on here and I said, I've never seen fans, media, players, coaches openly talking about the fix being in the way that they are right now. I've never seen so many people upset with a Super Bowl matchup. And they've been pissed. Like when the Cowboys would go every year, or the Broncos, or the Bills would go and lose every year, people griped about that. I don't know that I've ever seen, especially in the social media age, this much malcontent amongst quote unquote football fans.
I'm sure. I still think it'll do a monster number because of the tertiary side narratives of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. It's going to be the majority of people watching this barely know who Saquon Barkley is. And you know what? If the NFL was able to indoctrinate 20 million women into watching their final product with all the commercials, fresh eyes, ready to support the boyfriend of their favorite star, so be it. Then that's a masterclass of finding a way to combat dwindling viewership from the league that is in a weird puberty stage. But for me, who has watched every single game, who has been through this league at their roughest and at their best, I am not thrilled about the matchup. I will be watching lazily with some disinterest as both teams have their own just hideous outcomes if they win. They have hideous outcomes if they lose. But good God, I don't want to see Philly fans happy, and I don't want to see Kansas City.
Oh, don't worry. They won't be happy. They're not happy now. They're never happy, so I don't think you have to worry about that. But I don't even know what the answer is. Like, I don't think – I said this earlier today. We were talking about this with Dick Smokin and Ant-Man of all people. But I don't think the NFL tour is necessarily going out there and saying, hey, if it's close. There's this theory going around now when that play happened at the end of the fourth down play where Josh Allen flushes out. They've called it right. Spagnuolo dials up the blitz, and he just kind of throws up that Hail Mary. And Dalton Kincaid, by the way, had a shot at it. All the bitching we want to do about this game getting hacked, the Bills had a shot right there. I don't think they're saying that because there was they're calling for a flag. They're saying there's a flag on the field. The flag icon is up on the fucking screen. And then did you see this? Like the flag disappeared. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
They're saying that flag was thrown in case Dalton Kincaid came down with the ball. Right.
Yes.
That's tinfoil hattish. I don't believe that. But I do believe that the NFL doesn't do itself any favors when you have a referee in a football game, when there is an unstoppable play that nobody can figure out that I think should be illegal because it's the same as leverage when you're jumping the fucking block kicks, the fucking brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. But it's legal right now. The Commanders are doing everything they can to solve it. And you have an official stand up confidently with a live mic and say, if you keep doing this shit, we're going to give them a touchdown, which I've never heard in my life. It's like, this is why you're untrusted by your fan base right now. It's because we keep seeing crazy shit like this with our own eyes.
Yeah, first time I'd seen that call ever. I played football my entire life, watched it my entire life. I'd never heard of the palpable score. Right. That that go to? Who does that who's awarded that score? Who, you're just down six because you're trying to be innovative? I know maybe you're cheesing it a bit because you're on the inch line and that might draw out the game, but Jesus, I'm sick of the play. I used to really enjoy the play because I thought it represented old school football and grind you down, find a way to stop us. We're building the wedge. And now it's, we don't know if we can market a first down. Sometimes the Josh Allen fumble, when he tried to do it, it was a mess. And then somehow Kansas City got the ball, even though he retained it till down. It's a total mess of a play. And I'm starting to lean on the side of, you got to review it. You got to review the hell out of it. I'm surprised that Philly hasn't gone with more variants of it. And they just keep on sticking Jalen Hurts 2 yards up the middle. It's incredibly annoying, and I think that's going to be a very big factor into maybe disgruntlement with the Super Bowl, is how many times you have to see that play.
Disgruntlement. Well, the weird thing about it is when the Bills try it, right, who have a bigger and I would argue more athletic quarterback, they can't get it done because, I mean, you got to give the Eagles credit for this. Jalen Hurts disappears in that pile. Like, you don't know where the fuck he is until, okay, it's another touchdown. All right, they picked up another first down. He squirts out. Josh Allen's jumping over the top, waving the ball around, getting hit. It's like, I don't think you understand how this is supposed to work. And that's another part where if someone wants to have, you and I have a logical conversation about the refs, and we actually discuss openly, is the fix in? Well, it's difficult because the Bills spurged out so weird. They wouldn't give the ball to their top five running back in the league for the first half. Once they finally do, he's running all over the field. And then also, like, they're using Josh Allen in ways that they would 4 years ago before they realized he can't one-man army this thing when you get to the Chiefs, when you get to the final boss. And it's hard to, like, tell somebody both things can be true, right? Like, we can question the refs and the Bills can piss down their football pants every time they get to this fucking moment.
It's so frustrating because if you wanted to complain about the fix for 56 minutes of that football game, you could. And right. Then at the end of the game, look who's got the ball with 4 minutes left. So under 4 minutes, Buffalo, it's your moment, your time to go get it. And you're scrolling Twitter. This is the Josh Allen legacy drive. This is the drive. Everyone's so excited for it.
And you're right.
They pissed down their legs. And yeah. So as angry as I wanted to be at Kansas City, and as just angry as I wanted to be at the referees, how the flow of the game was and the entire season, how they got to the one seed, all of it, I couldn't be, because Buffalo had their destiny in their hands and did dick with it. It was all there. They could have marched right down. They had the weapons. They were scoring all game. It wasn't a 10-10 slugfest, and they just needed to go down and kick one through the uprights for their third score of the game. No. They've been putting up points. Find something that you did that game well and try to replicate it on the final drive, because you didn't really do that at all. It was some people could call their play calling hyper conservative. I would almost agree at times in this game where they just thought that they could pull a page out of the Eagles playbook and just go four plays first down. Well, the Chiefs have a great defense, and they, I think, have the best defensive coordinator in the league, and he's not going to let that happen.
Right. I mean, if you want to go down the list, it's, I guess, the Xavier Worthy catch is the one people are mad about. The Josh Allen, the one that sticks out to me more than the mystery flag being picked up tour is, and I think Clay Travis had a tweet where he said this is going to be the number one story, and it shouldn't be. Like, this is what, if the NFL thinks this is healthy because we're all discussing it and it's part of the zeitgeist, they're wrong. You have two officials coming off the sidelines at two different areas, right? Two different places where the ball is supposed to be. You go with the one that benefits the Chiefs. It could be a mistake. It could be a problem. They could have gotten together and said, oh, you're right, I'm wrong. Like, but it doesn't matter. It's the look, and it's what came before that. And this isn't – the NFL is the most successful sports organization we will ever see in our lifetimes for, decades now. And this is not what we should be talking about, is the fact that there's so much inconsistency when it comes – everybody getting a bite at the apple was a reason. Like, you're talking about, Yankees are going to load up every year. The Dodgers are going to load up. But in football, that doesn't matter, because you still have a chance to go out there, find your general manager, find your head coach, find your quarterback, and compete. And that's slowly, that is being eroded by the success of the Kansas City Chiefs, whether or not it is enhanced or not.
Yeah, every year you can win the lottery in the NFL.
Uh-oh. I think is, Big Man, oh, sorry, your internet connection's been a little shaky tonight, Tor.
Pardon me. Let me clear some devices using the wireless. But the game itself, the game of football itself, is a great neutralizer for any of the other nonsense. And when that starts getting taken out of it, then when the game itself starts being changed in favor of the other nonsense, then I have the problem, because teams can go and get hot. Teams can find a quarterback in a season like Washington did, and now they're a true contender. Everyone does have that bite at the apple, but when teams start feeling like, even if I get there, am I going to get screwed by something? That's when the distrust comes in, because I don't think Washington fans have much of a leg to stand on the distrust side of things. But if Buffalo really wanted to make a case, and if they really wanted to put together an article and pull the New Orleans Saints bit and start suing and crying and trying to get the league office to replay the last drive of the game, then they could at least put together a paper. And that is the frustrating part, where you feel like, even though you put 60 minutes on the field, it wasn't your 60 minutes that determined the outcome.
Thomas is saying this in the chat, but it's what I said all day yesterday too, is I think this is not, these things can happen parallel. Like there could be an issue with the refs, and we have a right to question that. And the Bills can also fold in these situations. Now, is it Josh Allen's fault they lost the game? No, he wasn't calling those plays. I don't know why this whole season tour was built up about they're running the football. They got a back that's on the come up, that, you know, all these touchdowns. Look at all the success. And I know this is, while this is happening, Josh Allen's having a miraculous year, but they changed the identity of the team starting last season towards the back half. And it's like, you go away from that, and it's like, all right, we're going to play hero ball with our fucking action hero quarterback. And it's like, that's not going to work. That isn't going to work against Steve Spagnuolo. It's not going to work against Patrick Mahomes. There's just, you have to realize that, that what got you to the dance previously is going to continue to get escorted out at the point that you have traditionally. And that's the part that's a bummer, because I think Allen had his best season. I think he was my MVP, but this is, if we're going to have the conversation about what happened head to head matchup, even statistically, if it was a dud from both of them and Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, then you have to bring this part of it into equation. Grimey wants to bitch. We are very happy. I assume, but by we, you mean Eagles fans. It's laughable that no one will throw their hands up and give her credit where is due. All good. Go Birds. I don't know what you're I don't, Grimey, look, man, I love you, and I appreciate that you listen to the show so long. I don't know if you're stupid or not. I don't know if you're just ignorant. Nobody is not giving the Eagles credit for making the Super Bowl. The Eagles are the best team in the NFC. If the Lions didn't lose 16 starters, would they be? I don't know. We don't have that problem right now. The Eagles were durable. There was questions about them in the middle of the season. There's questions about their coach. That Browns game was even though they won that game, to me, Tor, that was their rock bottom. Nobody's questioning whether, no one's saying the Eagles don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. You've got this inferiority complex that I'm guessing spawns from something else in your life that you're now pushing onto your football team. No one has said that. The Eagles are a great team. Do I think the coach is a goofball? Yes, and I will continue to express that opinion. I think he's goofy, and I think there's probably 20 other coaches in this league that could take a team as talented as the Eagles to the postseason and win some games. That is my statement. Nobody is saying they don't belong in the Super Bowl. They're one of the best teams in the league, and if anything, it's a fucking compliment that we're sick of seeing their asses in the Super Bowl. If anything, it's a compliment to how successful over a sustained period of time that organization has been.
I'm disappointed in DJ Grimey, personally.
He's been up his ass for two fucking days. I don't know if he's drunk or whatever. He won't leave me alone about it. It's like, Grimey, I don't like the Eagles. I've never liked the Eagles. That has never stopped me from complimenting him. Saquon Barkley is a top three free agency acquisition all time. Get a hold of yourself.
No one, I'm not taking this bait, Grimey. You're trying to make your own bulletin board material. The Eagles have been trying to do it all year. Why are you so, Eagles fans are so sensitive about being disliked. How about you treat people better and stop being so goddamn annoying? And then maybe you won't have this scarlet letter about your entire fan base. No one this year, I haven't seen one person this year that said, oh man, Saquon Barkley should have gone to another team. This is underwhelming. He MVP consideration, Grimey. Bet one of the best players in the NFL this year and could have possibly changed the output, the direction of the sport for the next decade with how good he's been as a running back. running back priority is shooting up in NFL war rooms strictly because, hey, maybe if we can get a guy like Barkley and do things that he's doing, our team can start winning. They're going to be a bit of the blueprint with all this. But you do it to yourself. Eagles fans do it to themselves. Take some accountability and responsibility. You want to be the villain or you don't. And if you don't, then fix your act. If you want to be the villain, then you can't care about people thinking that you're the villain. And you are. Philly fans are the worst.
If my team was in the Super Bowl, I could give two shits. Like, because what's on your mind is they're hating. Oh, no one gives us respect. No. What more respect do you need is that you're standing across from the champs? You're standing across from the team that's been to the AFC Championship game, what, 7 years in a row, 6 years in a row? What? There is no other validation that you need. And the Giants, it's not just that the Eagles are getting praised. The Giants have been buried for 20 weeks because they let Saquon Barkley go. Which, by the way, toward the time, I agreed with. They were going nowhere, and you can't pay a running back a bunch of money if you're just going to sit with there and win five wins with him instead of three or four.
Yeah, it was the right move. It was the right move. Let him move on. That sense, the Eagles fans' sensitivity about the risk. You want the respect from a bunch of loser-ass Falcons fans, the poverty fans? You want us to start respect? We're looking up to – you're in the Super Bowl. You know, if you want some respect from Lions fans or fans that you have competed against in the playoffs, maybe so. But the whole us versus the world gimmick, go screw entirely. Sick of it, over it. People were impressed with the win.
This is the reputation, and it is confirmed time and time again about this fan base. This is from a guy that went to the game. He's big on Skins fan Twitter, whatever. What is it called? Commander's Twitter. I don't even know what it's called now. Lincoln Financial Field lives up to its fan experience for opposing team's fans. I was verbally and physically harassed, taunted, and threatened. I had stuff thrown at me all in the name of football. I truly wish the NFL would address the code of conduct there. There's videos, constant videos of it. We all know what happens there. And I don't even really give a shit because – honestly, if you're dumb enough to go to that place knowing what it is, wearing the opposing team's colors, I'm not saying you get what you deserve because you deserve to be safe. You don't deserve to be harassed. But we know what those fans are and why they have that reputation. That's something that, yes, that will not be corrected. But the team itself is fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, they're real good. I was shocked at how well Jalen Hurts played. I had money on the Manders because I thought he was going to be limping around. I didn't think he's going to be able to be as athletic as he was. God, it was there impressive. AJ Brown stepped up. Why wouldn't I like the Eagles as a team? They have an insanely good offensive line, the most exciting player in football, and they had it's almost hack to bring it up at this point. Again, one of the most unbelievable off seasons in history. They drafted two defensive rookie of the year candidates. They traded for and acquired an offense, probably the offensive player in the year in Saquon Barkley. They brought in Vic Fangio, who's a defensive coach of the year award nominee. They just did the right things, and they're aggressive in the offseason, which I love. I love when the Rams were aggressive in the offseason, said F them picks. I like what Philly does, and they say, if you're out there and you can help our team, you're getting a call from us. I think that's what responsible franchises do. I think that's what win now franchises do. And I would hope some other teams start taking pages out of their books. But you're also a bunch of assholes. You're also a bunch of people that are intolerable, and you can smell them out in a friend group because they got that stink on them of dirtbag, and that's fine.
I don't know what the stink of dirtbag is, but your opinions are thy own. I tell you what they did do well, if you're just talking from a football perspective. Jalen Hurts looked like a one-legged man. He looked like he was 75 years old the week previously when they went out there and beat the Rams. When I was watching that team, him with the brace on, that's why I picked the Commanders. That's why I said Commanders are playing their best football right here. Definitely bet them to cover. And they either kept that shit close to their vest or he wasn't as hurt as he let on. He pulled a Doc Holliday and Tombstone. But that was masterful. To go out there and rush for three touchdowns and pick up those first downs with his legs, like, that was some real A-class gamesmanship there from a franchise perspective.
Oh, yeah. And if I was a Philly fan, I would have been eating it up. Six rushing touchdowns on the game. Are you? That's awesome. That is football incarnate. That is what you want your team to do in asserting will, is just run for touchdowns. Passing touchdowns are fun, exciting, but you broke the Commanders because they couldn't stop you on the ground. All game, they couldn't stop you on the ground. And then you're peppering in a couple passes on the sidelines. Guess what? We're going to score on you again on the ground if we get inside the 20. If I was an Eagles fan, that's what all I hope they do in the Super Bowl, is just keep on churning out the ground game.
21 point. It was closer than you than the final score would. I mean, they had opportunities the whole game long, but 21 points in the fourth quarter, 229-99 rushing yards, 7 yards a carry, 7 yards a play rather. That's how you win championships, man. Is when it gets down to nut cutting time, you're running the ball down their throat, and their first play goes. I mean, here's the part that I don't understand, Tor. I know that Washington's defense is banged up. Deron Payne's not there. Like they couldn't have been expecting that, but you know what Saquon Barkley has done to you the first 2 weeks. How do you not go out there and say, look, we just can't let him beat us on the outside like he beats us on the outside. We have to do something. We have to roll containment. We have to – whatever it is, come up with a game plan that at least says they're going to go to A.J. Brown. They're going to beat us over the top with Devontae Smith-Pelly. Let it be. But we can't let Saquon Barkley eat us for lunch. And the first – fucking carry, the first touch he gets, he's fucking gone, zigzagging in the middle of the field like Tecmo Bowl. I don't know how you let that happen if you're a professional franchise, unless he's that damn good.
I'm sure players got chewed out for it, but even the slightest idea that you were going to get him down with an arm tackle, that you were going to just wrap him up on the sideline in the NFC Championship game on the first play when he's breaking one, that can't happen. It needed to be full force tackling. Washington needs to have a very good draft and a very good offseason on the defensive side of the ball, and then maybe get a couple more guys on offense.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I think they're going to. They've got an enormous amount of cap space. They don't have to worry about their quarterback. They got their quarterback on a rookie deal. Now you got Bobby Wagner is going to be a free agent. Zach Ertz is going to be a free agent. I mean, you had some guys that contributed in a meaningful way to your team this year that you're going to have to make some hard decisions about, because a lot of them are in the twilight of their career. But you're coming off a 12-5 season over a 4-13 season. And the reason why you have it is still going to be there. And it's Terry, and it's Jaden, and it's that young core. I like their chances, Tor. I think they're going to be competitive. I think it's going to be very difficult to leapfrog Philadelphia. I still think they're going to be the gatekeepers in that division, even with an entire offseason to reinforce. But that's a great season for them. That's an unbelievable season. And that moment in Detroit is bigger than anything that franchise has been a part of. No disrespect, Joe Gibbs coming back or Robert Griffin III's first year. I mean, the Lions were the bully all season long until they weren't. And they absolutely got run off the field. And nothing has been erased because of that. I know it stings because it's the Eagles. And I know it stings because it's inside of the division. You're so goddamn close. But look, man. You're going to look back and have a lot of fond memories of that road trip, at least I think in a couple of days. I'm sure they're still stinging right now.
Yeah, the Detroit win was a monster win. This game, there's going to be some kicking yourselves, because how do you put the ball on the turf that many times? And how do you leave the best player on your team on the bench for so long and just have the score get run up on them and put them in a hole like that? That's so impossible to overcome. I mean, I'm sure Skins fans are gonna be watching over those fumbles in their basement all off season. You'll get over it eventually. I'm still getting over 28-3, but you'll survive. People will be able to get by. But I'm surprised at the actual tangibility of change that I felt with this team and the organization. And winning does cure all, but it was also the message that was being put out. There wasn't a bunch of front office drama that we were being subjected to throughout the season. It felt like the happy-go-lucky team, and now you're a team with expectations, and the expectations are to do at least as good as you did this year. That's the bar, is do you have to go to the playoffs? You have to get over 10 wins.
Well, I agree. But, Tori, it's wacky that the sixth seed in the NFC needed 12 wins, right? Like, that's not going to be the case every year. The fucking goddamn Vikings and the Lions both with 14 wins at the end of the season. Like, it's just, I don't think it's going to take all that. But unfortunately, I think the best team in the NFC, unless we see a leap forward from the Rams, because the Rams were not supposed to be there either, right? And they have a bunch of young players on that defense, and I think they're going to go forward with Matt Stafford, so they're going to get another bite at that apple, and maybe Cooper Kupp isn't a part of that, but they're going to be there. I would expect Tampa Bay to be better next year and to be a problem, so it's going to be tough. I think the NFC is on the come up, just not yet from a championship capacity. I wanted to go and play this and give us a chance to react to it because it's getting a lot of buzz and a lot of discussion today. I think we both like Nate Burleson as a football analyst. Is that fair to say?
I do, yeah.
Don't like him as the host of the Match Game, but that's not his fault, except that he accepted the gig. There's nothing good about the Match Game. But he was on right after. And I don't know if he's just looking at his phone and seeing the reaction to her because it was instantly negative with the Super Bowl matchup that we got, or if they had a plan ready to go, if this was the narrative after the weekend of football was done. But, of course, I'm sure most of you saw this. This is Nate Burleson cautioning us not to take for granted Kansas City's greatness.
Not a Chiefs fan. That's okay. But resist the urge to fall for the narrative that we're tired of seeing them win, that we might be fatigued of watching KC go to the Super Bowl over and over again. You are witnessing greatness, and just be happy that you are alive to be there to see it.
First of all, I don't have to be happy, so piss up a rope. Secondly, you don't really know how to appreciate greatness, Tor, while greatness is happening. Like, that's a conversation you kind of have with retrospect from the backseat, at least in my opinion, years after it's gone. And also, I think a lot of people disliked Tom Brady. I think even more people dislike Patrick Mahomes. I could be wrong about that. And I know more people dislike Travis Kelce and that whole thing. And there's people that dislike Andy Reid. I look at that, and I think it's different now because it's dulled. We have some time removed of it, so we can look at their greatness differently. But on the surface, the Patriots dynasty no longer feels infinitely as annoying as it did because we're in the throes of this thing right now. So it's fine to say that, and it's interesting perspective for Nate Burleson, but it also comes off very shillish to me for the league, and maybe something that's going to take time, not the night after when everybody's pissed off. They have 2 weeks of this shit to stomach.
I think everyone knows that they're witnessing greatness with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in that combination. Everyone can feel it. Similarly to how Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had greatness together for so long. Like, it's no secret. Sports fans like to complain. It's the best part of the game, and watching the sports is complaining about the good guys when you're rooting for a dog shit team. That's what people like to do. I'm sorry, Nate Burleson. We all have that awareness. It's envy. It's jealousy. It's yearning for a better team and that doesn't embarrass you every Sunday, and seeing this group of people in Kansas City that have just been sipping champagne for the last 7 years and keep on going to the Super Bowl. It's envy. That's all it is. And sports fans like to be jealous in a healthy way. Some of them are very unhealthy about it and take it too far. But most of the discourse that I'm surrounded by is, God, I'm so tired of the Chiefs. But that's just, I'm so tired of my team being so bad. It's a mask. It's a mask.
I couldn't disagree with you more. I really don't have a lot of energy. I'm not envious of what the Chiefs have at all. And quite frankly, I don't even know that I would want it for a team that I root for, just because there's no way to process it. Like, that level of domination we haven't seen before It's not something that we have to deal with even when we do have a dynasty. I mean, this is seven straight AFC title games, five out of the last six Super Bowls. No one's ever done that. Like, we're in rarefied air here. So you might be speaking for yourself there. Maybe it's a lot of other fans too. They're like, oh, I wish that the Vikings were able to pull this off, or I wish that my Lions were able to pull it off. I'm just fucking sick of them. Like, I'm fucking sick of Travis Kelce's dumb face. I'm sick of the cutaways to Taylor Swift. I'm sick of Patrick Mahomes' hair. I'm sick of that quarterback from Nebraska showing up in the fucking locker room looking like a mini-me version of him. I didn't know that he was getting that they gave the stalker the ringing endorsement. That was one of the most shocking moments of the week. And how did that happen? You cover college football. How did he end up there? It's just because he wants to be Pat Mahomes, a single white female bit? What is that kid's fucking deal, man?
He's a son of an NFL player, so he has the I think Dominic Raiola is his dad.
Does he play for the Chiefs?
NFL center. No, but he does not. But he was a highly recruited quarterback, I think a 4 or 5 star. And he was not supposed to go to Nebraska. He was getting offers from Georgia and all these big schools. But his uncle coaches in Nebraska, and he wanted to, I guess, get the keys from Matt Rhule. And then he just started doing the Patrick Mahomes bit. He's always said Patrick Mahomes is his favorite player. I said, okay, cool. That's not a bad player to try to be like or play like. But then this year he started rolling out in 15 and doing every single mannerism. That was a little shocking. No.
What's more shocking is that Pat Mahomes doesn't have a restraining order against him, and that he's in the locker room in a video where Isaiah Pacheco pans back over, and there's the real Pat Mahomes. Like, I can't believe, how did he get there? Fucking weirdest story. And then, does anyone in the mainstream media talk about it? Like, I've never heard it on ESPN or. It's fucking bizarre. It's a big-time collegiate program with a quarterback that is a full-blown stalker cosplayer of the best player in the world.
It is covered. It is minimally covered. No one talks about it in the college
football Twitter fucking talks about it. He gets called a lot of things over there. I was dipping my toe into some of that coverage actually earlier this week and enjoying myself. Oh, man. I should have brought that video up there. I thought I had it up. It is beyond bizarre if you haven't seen it. And Isaiah Pacheco in this video, they're in the locker room after they win, actually says, that's not Pat, because the kid's got the exact same haircut and skin color and mannerisms. I mean, it just looks like a mini water-headed version of Pat Mahomes.
I think he's going to make himself some money in a couple years.
So you're a fan, right? I notice you're a fan. Are you filibustered for him and you won't say anything critical? Like, what, has he been on your show? I assume
he's not on your
show.
No. God, no. But he's just so weird. Like, I have to kind of see what this little weirdo is going to do trying to be Patrick Mahomes. I have a sick interest in it and seeing if he can be talented and pull off this gimmick.
Okay. We've never seen anything like it, that's for sure. Generally, you want to start establishing an identity of your own by this level of the game. But, you know, I dressed up as Bray Wyatt for 5 years and went to the Verizon Center, and I was in my late 30s to early 40s. This is the worst video you'll see. This is the new weirdo head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars that did this crazy rope-a-dope with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he was going to turn them down and take his name out of consideration unless Trent Baalke was fired. I'm speculating here. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but Trent Baalke gets fired. The Buccaneers can't find him to put his John Hancock on the contract. He reneges with them and all of a sudden announces that he's now the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tor, this is him walking into One Jacksonville Way for the first time. Liam Cohen, I believe, is the gentleman's name.
Yeah.
Those are the biggest, whitest, clunkiest sneakers I've ever seen in my life. This guy is a weirdo. He's at the press conference. He says Duval in a creepy stalkerish way. Like,
I thought that was an AI.
You did?
The first time I saw it, I actually thought he was AI, because there's no way a human would say that like that.
These are the biggest shoes. The situation is so bizarre. And look, man, I'm sure he's good at what he does, but they lost Canales the year before. They lose this guy this year. I'm sure they have somebody in the pipeline ready to replace him. But I'm willing to bet you, just from seeing these shoes, that this shit goes completely off the rails, that it's going to end spectacularly. who is the fucking, I always forget his name. Who's the quarterback for the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons? It was the Razorback. Was it Bobby Petrino?
Yes.
And he like left a note and stapled it to the wall and quit in the middle of the season. And they found him on a motorcycle like years later, some woman that wasn't his wife.
Bobby's had an interesting football life. Yeah.
I just get the vibe from that. Just watching everything about how this guy got this gig in Jacksonville.
Well, it was messy. That Jaguars office looks awful, by the way.
It's terrible.
That is a loser basement franchise. Just video boards of the players. Like
there's stark white lobby.
There's no legends on the wall. It's just awful. Like that is exactly what I expected the Jaguars office to look like. It was a total mess, this guy getting hired, because at one point he's like, yeah, my kid's in the hospital, leave me alone. And then his wife has to defend him on Twitter, like, no, our kid really was in the hospital, leave us the hell alone. And then he still goes and signs with Jacksonville, like he's in some big rush. It's either your kid's in the hospital, dude, and you're focusing on that, or you were just trying to get a little time to get to Jacksonville to sign the papers. It's one or the other. I thought that he had a good year with Tampa this year, and they maxed out their offensive capabilities. And I thought that he ran a pretty good offense, but his track record, it's not all, you know, sunshines and roses. He was coaching on a really bad Rams team when they were bad and they were all hurt. He gets picked up by the Bucks, and now I don't know if he fixes Trevor Lawrence. I wish he was a little more normal looking. I'd have a little more faith, but the shoes were awful. The introductory press conference, just a real weirdo. And the fact that you're coming in, anytime a coach is coming in with some type of drama, some type of, and this wasn't like there was no drama outside of if there are any Rooney Rule debates about Vrabel getting signed with New England. It was, I'm coming through the door, I'm signing the papers, and I'm the head coach. Everyone else can have some debate. And then Liam Conan is rolling in after a movie saga of drama and backstabbings and pulling a Josh McDaniels. That guy's always so well-loved and respected by the league. I'm sure that it's all going to be great for him. It's just too much here. Too much going on.
I also, like, the Ben Johnson thing, like, pissing yourself to try to hire Ben Johnson makes sense because it's an offense like we've never seen before. And Tampa Bay's offense was good, but he's, you know, done it for 1 year. The other thing, go to back to Ben Johnson real quick. I know this is old news now, but of course him and Glenn getting hired in the same cycle, you knew that was coming. It's actually probably a year after some people thought that it would take place. And I am surprised, Tor, how many normies are like, I don't understand the Aaron Glenn thing. Like their defense was terrible. That's why they lost. Well, yeah, he kept that defense together when they had lost their best player on the team and like seven other starters at the time. I mean, it was a masterful coaching job, and I don't blame him for getting steamrolled by Jaden, but just not being able to keep it in your pants for this dude is a very odd choice by Jacksonville, coming off the heels of their owner doing an interview with their general manager sitting next to him saying, yeah, if the new coach wants this guy fired, he's fucking gone. And not that far removed from Urban Meyer with the not taking the plane back and being in the club. Like they just can't get right. And this feels just like an extension of can't get right.
I wanted Rex back in the league this offseason. I wanted him to take the Jets job. I don't know why. I've had enough time to dissolve my feelings about Rex Ryan. And I realized I came to the conclusion, Rex Ryan is fun for the NFL. And at this point, that's what I want. I wanted Rex Ryan at the Jets. I wanted Glenn at the Jaguars, turn them into a serious franchise. And if Ben Johnson wants to go tarnish his legacy with Chicago, he can go do that. But I'm disappointed that the Jaguar, like on paper, this is a fine move. He knows how offenses work. Maybe he's going to have some new wrinkles to add in with Trevor Lawrence. But from the bigger picture for me, this is a dud move. It moves the needle zero for me. I don't know who this guy is. I don't think he's a great motivator. And also, I think Rex Ryan would have at least got some people excited in Jacksonville. Some type of, I mean, if we're going to go down the path of either young, dumb offensive coordinator head coach, old, angry defensive coordinator's head coach, or master motivator, in today's NFL, I want master motivator, because there's not any Andy Reid sitting around on the Andy Reid tree that I could just pick off and make my new head coach. So I'm looking for the next Dan Campbell prototype, the next Dan Quinn type of guy that can come in and just lead the troops. This whole era of Mike McDaniels it doesn't work for me.
Everything you said can be true, and they are still at worst the second most embarrassing offseason coaching search that we saw, because the Dallas Cowboys shitting in their hand and throwing it into a big ass fan that's hanging off the ceiling, announcing Brian Schottenheimer like some fucking cowards in the middle of the night when all of the hype. I don't know if Deion Sanders was ever going to consider it, Tor. I don't know if they made him an offer. Jerry likes to be at the top of the crawl no matter what. That got them some good run. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are not expected to ever do anything. The Dallas Cowboys are at least expected to snag headlines, right? I don't expect them to win Super Bowls or even get to conference championships, but they do win a lot of regular season games usually, and they stay at the top of the crawl. What a way to limp. Why don't you swing for the fences? Like, hire a college coach that's 26 years old. Brian Schottenheimer, that was on the staff, that's never gotten a head coaching job, and he's been around for... my God, is that rough? Is that a tough sell to your fan base?
They let the absolute bottom dwelling, lost all their fans, constantly getting invaded, no direction having Las Vegas Raiders outdo them with the head coaching search.
Crush them.
73-year-old Pete Carroll looks like 50-year-old Belichick compared to Schottenheimer as a hire right now. You couldn't give him a call? I didn't even know he was an option until I hear that he's getting signed on by the Raiders. What a win for them. He's at least a culture guy. He gets things positive. The Cowboys, we're just going to elevate a guy that was part of our bad scheme. He's going to now infect all of the scheme with his badness. I'm sure he's fine. What do I know about
you? Are?
But no, I'm not. They're going to be awful. They're going to be a disaster. This does not change the culture. It doesn't improve the culture. It doesn't change the scheme. It doesn't instill confidence. Three things that I would appreciate that my new head coach would provide me at day of signing. That I don't think they do any one of those. At least if I'm looking at Carroll, change the culture. Makes it different. That's at least one of the other three, and then we can figure out the scheme and all that afterwards.
I just don't understand. Keep the mid coach you already have, unless you just didn't want to pay him. Like, unless you're like, I'm not going to give you any more money. I'm going to give you a one-year deal. And he's like, well, you let me play on the last year of my contract. I want a little stability, and the cock block him from going to talk to that Bears gig, which he wasn't going to get. But this is a fucking trifling ass offseason. Coming off tour, a trifling ass offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, we were giving the Dallas Cowboys shit for not making a run at Derrick Henry because they thought they were there. Get ready for thinking last year's step back was a Mississippi half step compared to this year's step back. And if the Giants could fiddle fuck around and get a hot rookie quarterback in there and step over the Dallas Cowboys to be that third team in the third best team in the division, I could see it. And Dallas has got all this money tied up in guys that now you're questioning. And I guess Micah Parsons is next up, right? They're going to have to give him his bag.
Well, at least Micah Parsons wasn't fully slathering an in-division rival player during the entire playoff game versus Washington. Yeah. No identity, no balls on that team. And their big offseason addition is going to be like Hollywood Brown as the number two for CeeDee Lamb. I'm sure you guys won't have 9 wins next year. I'm sure you'll make the playoffs. Bunch of losers. Boy, so, at least at the very least, the Cowboys could be fun. They could at least be a story. But if they're just sitting there boring, that does nothing for anybody.
Do you think it was? Because here's what I think happened: is that first of all, we know Jerry's not going to give up nothing. So how are you going to go out there and convince guys that have multiple suitors? Like, the star on the side of the helmet is not going to impress Ben Johnson. It's not going to any Mike Vrabel, any of these coaches that are in demand and have multiple suitors that want to hire them. You're not going to be able to pull it off because Jerry's there. So you got to get somebody that's going to come in and kneel down for Jerry. So Marcus Freeman, like, whoever you think the home run candidate's going to be, what is Notre Dame not a better job than the Dallas Cowboys right now? Go ahead and ask 10 football fans what a better gig is right now. I think you know the answer. But just fucking go for the home run. Like, go pluck somebody from obscurity. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Like, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Brian fucking Schottenheimer. So why do it? Why have the placeholder coach, especially if everything we know about Jerry. I don't think Jerry wants to win a Super Bowl tour. I think he wants to be famous. I think he wants to have microphones in his face. I think he wants to talk about. I think he wants to be on Landman. I just think that he's not being honest with us about the motivations that he has. He wants to work with his family, be around my sons. He can do all of that and be a shit show. So I guess they'll be a shit show.
I think it was the 76ers that had this analysis done on them, where their most profitable years are just when they're in the hunt for the playoffs. And that's because that's how fans and the NBA keep showing out because they think their team's going to make the playoffs. And it's pretty easy to make the playoffs in the NBA. You just need to not lose about 30 games, which Philly can continuously do. But when they're in the hunt, that is when the team is in the green and they don't care what happens afterwards. As long as they hit that green. And I think Jerry, knowing that he's heading up Dallas, they're hitting the green pretty early in the season because they're just going to sell out. Everyone wants to come root against the Cowboys. Everyone wants to see the stadium and everyone's going to buy the merch of the new player on the team. So if they're constantly in the green, what's the motivation? It should be Super Bowl. If I'm the owner, it should be not embarrassing franchise. I think the motivation has just been how quickly can we get into the green and then how can we maximize profits for the shareholders?
It's a wacky bit. And I think there's more owners, and I think you should judge them by their actions toward and the way they go about their business. I think there's more owners that are wired that way where they know they're going to get their television money. They know that they have this agreement where they're having the revenue share and it's enough. I own a franchise. Everybody thinks I'm a big cock of the walk. I think that psychopath in Carolina, I think he wants to win. I think he's a bag of shit and everybody hates him. But like, I don't deny. I think Dan Snyder wanted to win.
Yeah.
I don't always think it's necessarily a good thing. But I think there's way more of these billionaires that this is just their side piece and they're not going to care about their side. And this is all the fans' wives. Like, you're not going to care about your Gumar the same way you care about your main lady. And they're the ones that own them. Ultra Liger, I think Mike wanted a long-term. Yeah, he wanted some stability. I don't blame him for wanting some stability out of the way that team treated him. I thought this tweet deserved more attention. Tor, if you're not watching the show, I've tweeted it out from @BothTimesSports. But Frankie Louvu, of course, the linebacker for the Washington Commanders, who got flagged twice for throwing himself over the line trying to stop the tush push. This gentleman named Dan tweeted out what appears to be a psychopath watching himself at his webcam.
That is iShow Speed, maybe one of the most famous people on the planet right
now. Is it really?
A streamer who is known for launching himself into his streaming
setup.
I have no idea. He does backflips. He's jumped over like Ferraris and stuff doing the Kobe commercial bit. He's just one of the most famous people in the world right now.
I have no idea who he is. Like, shouldn't I stumble across his work if he's one of the most famous people in the world?
He's a kick not. Twitch streamer for 15 and 16 year olds. And he okay. just, yeah, it's really.
I recently became a fan of his work after this GIF.
I became a fan of his work similarly to seeing him pass 1 million subs and launch himself into his setup. And I said, I got to see what this guy's about.
Yeah. If I pass 3,600 subs, I might do the same over on YouTube. That would be great. That play was so goddamn funny and the refs turned it so weird so quickly. And I don't even fault the Commanders. It's like, we're going to go down swinging. Like, nobody can stop this fucking thing. Clearly it needs to be nerfed. We're going to do whatever we can. And I got to say, Tor, I'm still culturally kind of shocked by hearing a ref say, we're going to give these motherfuckers a touchdown. And I know it's in the rule book. How did nobody know that? How is that such a mystery? And then, of course, 6 hours later, everybody pretends like they knew it the whole time, which nobody did. That was such a weird exchange.
The refs were treating it like it was an assault against God himself.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole game, Tyler Biadasz is just getting punched in the face by Jalen Carter. He's getting poked in the eye. I guess if you get if a hand goes inside your face mask and there was an encroachment, there's still no illegal hands to the face. That was infuriating. Poked him right in the eye, and then later in the game, Jalen Carter just socks him right in his face mask. Nothing. There was no, let's look out for the center of the Commanders. It was, oh God, Frankie Louvu's trying to stop the unstoppable play. Let's stop the game and call in Dean Blandino so he could pull his putt in the booth for about 5 minutes. That's what we all wanted.
Did you see Mike Pereira doing the fucking white knight for the refs tour that he, I mean, he was on every major football show this past week saying that everybody was crazy to question the refs. It's like, why the fuck would I believe you, bro? Why would I have any, why would what you say have any merit over my own eyes watching this shit unfold? What's great is Frankie Louvu was the guy that also murked Jared Goff the week before. Yeah. And became famous because that was the gif and the meme that was like, if this happened to Patrick Mahomes, this guy would be put in a fucking jail cell for the rest of his life.
I like Frankie Louvu. I think being the spokesperson for the NFL referees has to be the best job in football. Yeah. We always make the joke, oh, it's the best to be the backup quarterback. No, it's the best to be completely protected by the NFL, get a whole bunch of camera time, just talking about the refs because they're just paying you to talk about their, oh my God, could you imagine going home after that day of work? Just get blasted. Well, you got no responsibility. All I got to do is defend the guys in white and black. That's great.
The NBA does a lot of shit that I don't like. Baseball, hockey, all of them, they mean nothing to me. But they don't have this weird Bukkake obsession with the referees where the refs are constantly, their Twitter account is constantly active and they have trading cards and they're constantly being discussed and every crew has got an official to discuss the officials. It's a former official. They just so happen to defend every call that's fucking made on the field. The NFL misses me with all of that shit.
Yeah, it's really... And you know what? Baseball's got their own issues with the umpires and
I get it.
Switching to the robot umpires, which I think is a total mistake. But that's just complaining about balls and strikes. That's not every single play wondering if the ref is going to take the ball out of your hand or if they're just going to extend a drive for no reason. The shtick online this week was funny seeing the made up scenarios about how the Kansas City Chiefs were going to get to the NFL. Oh, and Josh Allen seals it. Wait, now there's a flag on the field. Like you just knew that there is a bit of a cynicism around the Kansas City Chiefs and the officials for how some type of scheming was going to happen. And I don't know why there's not as much defense of that point of view, which is obviously being held by a lot of football fans.
SportsCenter put this up, I think, for the same reason that Robert Griffin III put up what he did, because they knew exactly the hornet's nest they were going to ignite, not to actually give the question a chance to be answered, but to ignite the haters. If you had to choose, would you rather see Patrick Mahomes make history with a three-peat, or would you rather see Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley get their first Super Bowl rings? Of course, I responded, I'd rather not watch football again until the preseason. Here's what I would ask you, Tor, and it's not this stupid fucking question. I think my wife wants to watch the Super Bowl. I think she does. She enjoys the Super Bowl. She likes football, but she likes all of the hoopla, as most wives do, surrounding it. She likes all the Taylor Swift stuff, all that shit. It's torture. It's fucking torture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch it, and I'm going to tell her I don't want to watch the Super Bowl. And it'll be the first Super Bowl I've ever missed in my entire life. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready, willing, and able. There's nothing. It doesn't offer me anything. I'm not going to learn anything. I think the commercials are insufferable. What is an appropriate – if you're a real football fan, which I consider myself, what is an appropriate substitution for – watching the Super Bowl? Like, what should I do instead of that? Or is there not a correct answer? Do you just watch the Super Bowl no matter how insufferable you believe it to be?
Oh, I don't know if I could sub in watching a movie, like a classic movie, over the Super Bowl.
What about going to the movies?
Oh, I don't know if there's anything that's going to be out that you know,
that new Mel Gibson movie with Mark Wahlberg, the Flight Plan movie. I want to see that movie.
Bet you get an open theater. That wouldn't be bad. I don't know. That is tough. I'm going to be very disinterested. I'll probably just be gambling the entire game and not really pay attention as much to the outcome. It's going to be such a toxic night because you have the two toxic teams that everyone hates, and then it's going to be a bunch of annoying-ass commercials. And it's obviously not a night for football fans, so it's going to be a bunch of people around you doing the worst bits ever. And you have Kendrick Lamar performing at halftime.
He is not a pussy. That's a good thing. Usually they got a giant pussy performing at halftime, and he is not that.
And he might call Drake a pedophile in front of the nation.
I don't need that.
And that's gonna set the nation off all over again. Which it was a great summertime discourse, but we are
I'll take your word for it.
Months removed from it, and it's just gonna start it all up again. Which is great. That'll take away from the game. Why not? It's gonna suck. Who's in the booth? I don't. If it's
on Fox, it's Brady. It's Brady.
They're giving him a Super Bowl first. I knew that. I knew they were giving him a Super Bowl his first year. That's crazy,
bro. They paid him fucking $50 million. What do you? Of course, they gave him the Super Bowl. You can't give that guy a 10-year contract and not give him the A-list seat, not have him call the Super Bowl.
That stinks. I'm muting the TV. I'll listen to old Ron and Fez during the Super Bowl. That is my outlet.
Brady is not unbearable. He definitely is not as good as I thought he would be. I think that's the way I think
he likes it when the TV goes to specific player or the camera shot goes to specific players in the sidelines, and then he can call them studs or not. That is what his pocket and his bread and butter is. That's disappointing. What are you going to do? Burkhart's good. I should ease up.
I mean, unless it's Buck and Aikman, I don't like any of the A-listers. I mean, Al Michaels, I don't think wants to be there anymore. Amazon crew. I like Herb Street, you know, talking college football, but I don't know, you know, how he would be on a Super Bowl. And I certainly don't want, I mean, Nance and Romo, strap me to a comment, send me to another fucking dimension. Like, no, please God. So I don't know who else it would be that would make anybody happy.
Yeah, it's Buck and Aikman. I'm only rooting for Buck and Aikman. So I'm overreacting.
It's not Collinsworth.
Yeah, thank God. That's all. That is the silver lining.
Yeah,
I would take 1,000 Brady's over Collinsworth.
I would agree. I found a fucking picture of Colin. Let me see if I can pull it up before we have to thank our beautiful sponsor, our presenting sponsor that brought us here. But oh yeah, here we go. If people don't listen, I imagine most people here listen to the Chad Duke Show. But did you know that Chris Collinsworth was Hotman Ted? Because I did not know that until I saw this video that the Cincinnati Bengals tweeted out, because I guess it's his birthday today. It's the same fucking face, dude.
Oh. Here's a guy that gets hit by a garbage truck and then gets hit again by a garbage truck.
Yeah. My Hotman Ted shtick in the response to the tweet is not getting a lot of action just yet. It's not. I thought it would catch fire by now, but unfortunately, it is not. Let me go ahead and take this opportunity to thank the good people at Dream State Getaways. If you're booking your Florida theme park vacation, avoid the fees. Book directly. Their awesome houses are available on the web right now. www. People still say that, World Wide Web. dreamstaygetaways.us on Instagram too. You want to see the beautiful photos? All are located on resorts. They all got the movie theaters and the games and the beautiful bedrooms and the pools, and it's basically like going on vacation. You can just go down there and stay in one of those homes, get out of this goddamn weather, and do really right by yourself. Avoid the Airbnb fees, the Vrbo fees. You both save money. Dream Stay Getaways. If you're going to Universal or Disney, book their houses. They've been sponsoring us all season long. So many thanks to dreamstaygetaways.us. I was kind of hoping the fucking 2-week bit would have gone the way of the dodo at this point, Tor. And for this Super Bowl in particular, I think it's going to be tough. This isn't 6 days worth of coverage. I mean, any storyline gets completely smashed and beaten into the ground into a pulp because there's such a long time between the championship game and the end of the season. And I got to say, should that not benefit the Eagles more? Because if there is something going on with Jalen Hurts and he needs to get that knee right, he's got more time to recover. I would assume that's the case. But giving Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo 2 weeks to prepare for any fucking opponent seems like a cheat code at this point. I know we as fans lose, but I wonder if there's a team that benefits more.
I think it helps the Eagles more. They have Landon Dickerson, who was banged up all game, their stud left guard and center. So he needs to get healthy. They also have another offensive lineman that had a back injury this entire game, so he needs to get healthy. I think it helps the Eagles. I think they have more guys that could get right in 2 weeks compared to the Chiefs, who just, I don't know, use their evil dark magic to stay relatively healthy at the key positions all season. And then they just get Isaiah Pacheco back for the playoff run. He's still been a non-factor, but I'm sure he'll have a big game in the Super Bowl, because when they going gets tough, the Chiefs turn to traditional football, and it crushes other teams.
Yeah, but that guy's been Kareem Hunt, man. I mean, he's been huge for them ever since they brought him back to the – they can just pick backs up off the fucking scrap heap. They don't need to invest in anybody pretty much.
Right, Samaje P. Ryan ice out the game. Washington legend and Bengals legend just closing it out. Why not? It's Samaje P. Ryan. I saw him
like,
run.
Just like we drew it up.
Just – such a disappointment. First off the bus guy. Oh, he can squat 6,000 pounds. Can he run more than 6 miles per hour in Washington? He can't? Okay. He's going to win three rings with the Chiefs. Why not?
Thomas said, let's have the Bills and Commanders play next week. Yeah, you get that done, Thomas. You get that done. I'll get the crab dip. No problem. That's a deal on my end if you can make that happen. Podcast available on iTunes and Spotify. Please go check them out. Subscribe. It don't cost nothing and leave a 5-star review. And for Young Gigantor, I am Chad Dukes, reminding you, as always, to go long. Real long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Both types of sports.